regardless of what training we have, what orientation we have, what philosophy we're using, we know connecting with kids is the most important piece. Maybe I'll tell one little story. I got this problem with stories. And it has nothing to do really with a kid or behavior. We had a call once from a hospital, rehab hospital, where a person had been called in, and he was in a coma. And the family in this case were very concerned because they wanted somebody there in case he woke up. And they decided that they were going to purchase our type of service, so when they weren't there, somebody would be there. As opposed to being on a ward in a bed, and if a nurse came by, you know, that would be... So we found this child and youth worker who had great compassion and understanding and thought he'd be a good match, which is the key we think of all good connections is the match between the practitioner and the client. So he went to the hospital, and over the next 2.5 years, he was generally working 3, 4, 5 days while his family members were working and doing other things. He did wake up. He did then have to be cared for in every aspect. Had to be fed, had to be shaved, had to be washed, had to be... And within 2 years, they were then planning that he had to move out of this hospital because he was too functional. He was up, he was awake, he was taking care of himself. And it was sad because the other family members of other patients on this ward, and this is a ward where people went for life, would say to the nurses and doctors, "How did John get better?" The doctors and nurses would look and say, the brain is a funny thing. Who knows? But for us, it was a little clearer than that. It was, we were with that person. With them. Not treating them, not doing something at them, but we were with them. I went to this child and youth worker and asked him, "Cliff, how do you go in every day? Like, I'm a child and youth worker who likes adolescence and likes action, likes..." He just looked at me and says, "Bill, I just think each day, what if it was me?" So it was easy. 2.5 years this guy did it. But this guy was discharged from the hospital, went out and living in supportive housing. But it was amazing to think about that people still didn't get that it wasn't a fascination or a who knows what. It was really care that worked. So lesson one is about those connections. Whoops. Lesson two. This is interesting to me because it allows us to be open and objective. We do practice. Most of our work, of course, is in community settings, is in communities, in classrooms. There's no secrets. And as we know, child and youth work, one of the significant issues of people getting into difficulty, mental health difficulty or any other difficulty, is secrets. And if you work in a profession where, and in a practice scheme that doesn't allow closed doors, doesn't allow wink wink, doesn't allow, you know, confidentiality in the same way as other professions, we think this is a very, very important aspect of child and youth work practice. And now with this whole idea of that there's no real secrets with the web-based and internet, etc., etc., child and youth workers, we find, don't have the same difficulty because they have been practicing openly with families, with kids, with colleagues, with other professions in a different way than other professionals have. Third lesson, we really notice a difference if people haven't come to us. And we don't provide supervision. We use a consultation model. All of our practitioners have a minimum of 5 years, but typically the 10 or 15 is the base. And so we're looking at people who are coming to provide their professional services to us. But there's a real difference between those who have had a supervisory experience or experiences in their in their profession and those who have just bopped from contract to contract to contract. And what we mean by supervision, sort of a meaningful experience where the individual has had a chance to look at themselves in relation to them, their clients, families, their colleagues, students, and they've come to also been able to look at themselves. This is very important, we think, for effective work. And the dilemma, of course, is that poor supervision, we think, is a slow process that leads to ineffective work, burnout, and exhaustion. So if you don't have this, it's going to be difficult to make a career for yourself. Lesson 4, we're nearly there. I think only 5 lessons. And this is a larger issue. We think the profession needs to be broadened. Many times we think about child and youth work as that person's really good with kids. We believe that the profession has to be expanded and expanded so that people can belong to something larger than I'm good with kids, or I'm better than you, the kids, or you're so good with kids. We need research. We need teaching. We need evaluation. We need people to belong to something that is more developed, more expansive than just this notion of he's really good or she's really good with kids. The other issue, of course, in this is the notion of just being good with kids is we know a lot of people who aren't trained who are really good with kids. That doesn't make them good child and youth work practitioners. That makes them really good with kids at that moment. And we all know, you know, Uncle so-and-so or Aunt Betty was, you know, the kids just flocked to her, she's great. That doesn't make her a child and youth work practitioner in any sense. So we think there is a difference. And the last, of course, is that we need to think about child and youth work, how we can articulate it, how we can brand it, how we can move from the quasi-professional status. I mean, in Canada, it is very much a quasi-professional status to a professional status. With the hope, of course, that the practice, the research, the management, the policies that government sets can all be child and youth work informed. That it doesn't have to be in healthcare, of course, we have physicians and others forming opinions. We now do more work in hospitals in Toronto than we do in community-based settings. Hospitals have figured out when a kid misbehaves or acts out, they generally used to call in another nurse. So the kid would tell that nurse where to go. And they'd call in another nurse. And so they've really moved to much more of a integrated model. Now, some of us don't like hospital settings. And so, again, part of what Bartimaeus does is try to match people to the appropriate setting, to the appropriate kid, to the appropriate client. So, but we do know that to belong to something, and belonging is a very important concept in child and youth work, and we work with kids all the time about it, and it's funny that our profession is so fragile, I would say, because we know the sense of belonging gives us the strength and gives us the ability to do so much better. When we help a kid belong to something, belong to a peer group, belong to a family, belong to a program, we know kids do better. And so what we see in the future, of course, is we have to have this profession where practitioners can belong. And the last, of course, being come from Canada. We like hockey. So thank you very much. That is really the things that we have learned from our 4 million hours. I think the intent is there, if there's any quick questions, if not, we could move to... Usually the question is, what's a Bartimaeus? So, Bartimaeus was a blind beggar in the Bible. I always, although we're not a religious organization in any sense, I like the notion of we all need some help at some point. And Bartimaeus at some point needed some help. And people said, shut up, be quiet, you can't talk to, and in this case it was Jesus walking by. And he insisted that he had a voice. And then the religious thing is Jesus fixed his eyes and stuff, but that's less relevant to us than the name. Thoughts, questions, concerns, issues?
It was interesting what you were saying about supervision. Everybody needs a competent supervisory experience. You talked about the consultation model. I think often my experience has been of a managerial model, which is kind of ticking that you've done the tasks that you were allocated to do or were supposed to do. And the bit that isn't there or hasn't been there hugely has been that consultation, you know, a chance to look at self as opposed to a chance to look at the tasks that are supposed to be done. And looking at a way of building that and would seem to be appropriate and important.
Yeah, we're of the opinion that tasks are a relatively simple, straightforward issue. The question is, where are you coming from? Where's your struggles and how can you be helpful?